This morning we're going to continue our series on a life of stewardship. And there is one foundational truth for this entire series. And this truth must be remembered and lived out each day by every Christ follower, every Christian who wants to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you don't write down anything else today, this is the one foundational truth for this whole series, okay, for every sermon in this series that we need to remember. We cannot own anything because God owns everything. We cannot own anything because God owns everything. Why is this so important for us to remember? Since God owns everything, and that means that we are all stewards, and we must invest every part of our lives in using the resources God has given us for His glory, His plan, and His kingdom. We are stewards. We are not owners. Last week, we defined stewards as being one who manages or has oversight of or has responsibility for another's property or finances or affairs. That's what a steward is, by definition. And has already been implied, what is the goal then of that steward? To take the resources of the owner and invest them for the owner's profit, not for the steward's profit. It's important for all of us to keep this goal at the forefront of our minds, because if we forget it, then you and I, just like every other person who has ever lived this earth, on this earth, will begin to use the resources that God has entrusted to us for our own good, and we're going to act like owners instead of stewards if we forget the goal of what we're supposed to be using the things God gave us for. We looked at the passage that Justice just read last week, and it taught us a few things about being a steward. First, God chooses what resources He assigns to each of us as His stewards. God gave, the owner gave to each steward what he thought they could handle. Stewards didn't come and say, hey, I need five, I need three, I need four. Didn't work that way. God assigns the resources. That sure makes our lives a whole lot easier, because then it helps us to be content with what we have and stop looking at whatever everybody else has, because God has given us what He thinks we can handle. He also, God, expects us to invest what He has given to bring a return that He would be pleased with, not us. And the last part of last week, He will, just like the parable that Justice just read about, He expects us to give an account one day of our stewardships. We often forget that. We often forget that we are going to give an account to God for every resource He has ever placed in our lives. So imagine that day. With your finances, with your relationships, with your life, with your career, everything that you have belongs to God. There is nothing that you own, because He owns everything, and you are going to give an account to God one day for everything He has placed in your lap. So, how are you going to do? That's a hard question, isn't it? That's a really hard question. With this foundation of stewardship, of what it is, laid, we must ask another very important question. Where do I find out how to invest the resources God has given me in a way that would please Him? How do I know how to do that? I mean, do I just guess? I mean, do I go to my friend and say, hey, man, I need to invest wisely, and so I get all the advice from him on how to invest and, you know, 401k and all that kind of stuff. And I go to another friend and say, hey, I don't know how to run my marriage. Can you help me? I mean, that's pretty subjective, because what's the standard? And so what we have to understand is there a place that we can go that there is a list or a instruction, not a list, but instruction on how we're supposed to steward the things God gives us? And with this important question, I would wager that most of us here today know the answer to that. We already know that. So, what's the answer to that question? Where do we find the instructions to be good stewards? The Bible. Do you understand that that is the only place we have to go? This is what defines what we do with our resources, how we use our resources, what we invest in, how we spend our lives. This is the standard, and there is no place else on earth to go to find out how to be a steward of the resources God has given us. The Bible is, as I said, the only source, and therefore the Bible becomes the foundational stewardship resource for every Christ follower. Remember, we're doing a series on stewardship, living a life of stewardship. And we have to understand something. It all begins, that life of stewardship begins here. And you want to know what that means? That every person here has to be a good steward of the Word of God. If you're not a good steward of the Word of God, you will have no idea how to be a good steward of anything else that you own. True? You have to be a good steward of the Word of God. Without a thorough knowledge of God's Word, we don't know how to be stewards. Before I continue and we look at how does God expect us to steward His Word, what does it mean for us to steward God's Word, let us pray. Father God, we come to You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for this opportunity to study Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, for the challenge. We thank You for the clarity. We thank You for the direction that is clear. And I pray that it would change lives this morning. I pray, Lord God, that we would learn how to please You more this morning as we leave these doors to be lights for You. In Christ's name, amen. How does God expect us to steward His Word? First, we must guard His Word. We must guard His Word. Please turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And so while you're turning there, let me set the stage for this book, for this letter. Put it in context. Paul is writing what he knows is his last letter to the young pastor, Timothy, who is also a very close friend. Paul knows he will soon be put to death. And so this is Paul's swan song. This is Paul's talking to a very close friend saying, these are the last things I want you to remember. And so he is reminding Timothy of some important things about being a pastor. And it starts in verse 3. Look at verse 3. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, verse 5, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit of fear, not of fear, but of power and a love of self-control. He says, in light of all this, therefore, he says this, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord and Savior. First thing he wants Timothy to know is, don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then he goes down into verse 8, and I'm just going to talk about this. You can read it later. In verse 8, he also says, you're not only going to not be ashamed, don't be ashamed, he says, but share in the suffering of the gospel. Do we know that if we are going to be gospel lights, that there's going to be suffering attached to that? Do we understand that as Christ followers? Absolutely, every time. It's a promise. And then he says in verse 13, follow the sound gospel teaching of Paul. And now we get down to the verse that we want to talk about, verse 14. Look at verse 14. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Guard the good deposit that Christ entrusted to you. What was that good deposit? It was the teaching of Paul. It was the teaching of the Old Testament at that time. It was everything he learned about being a Christ follower from the Apostle Paul. Timothy was to guard, and that is a proactive protecting of. If I'm going to guard my family, I'm not going to wait till somebody tries to break in. If I'm worried about it, I'm going to put cameras up, right? I'm going to proactively put things in place. I'm going to lock the doors. I'm going to proactively guard something to secure it. And so Timothy is to guard the truth of God's word. Now, do we all know that Satan doesn't want the truth of God's word to be a light to the world? Do we understand that Satan wants to interfere with that? See, that's why Timothy needs to guard it. That's why we need to guard it. We have an adversary out there, Satan. And we have the world system that he is in control of that fights day in and day out to confuse the gospel of Jesus Christ, to confuse the standards of what we're supposed to live by and the stewardship that we're supposed to live by. We can't forget that. It's an everyday battle. And Satan knows he can't destroy God's word because God's word is eternal. But he knows that he can cause confusion through lies and misinformation. And we have a really good example of that at the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis chapter 3. And he comes to Eve. And when he comes to Eve, he goes, "Has not God said?" What do we know automatically with that? What's he trying to do to Eve's mind? Cause question. And as they go through the conversation, if you want to go back and read that later in Genesis chapter 3, he actually deceives Eve with God's own words. And we have to understand that that still continues today. To be good stewards of God's word, we must exert a lot of effort to guard against false teaching, weak teaching, inaccurate teaching of God's word. It is an effort. It is energy expended day in and day out to guard. That's part of our stewardship. Because if we as Christ followers do not guard God's word, then God's word becomes confusing, foggy, and not a light to the world anymore. And so part of our stewardship is to guard God's word, especially since it is the only source we have to learn how to be good stewards to live our lives. God also expects his servants, or his stewards, to know his word. I did this once with a youth group. We were in my bottom of the basement in Kutztown, and we had some masked men come downstairs running down. They didn't know what was going on. They were a little freaked out there for a minute. All right. And they confiscated every part of God's word that was downstairs in the basement. Took it away. They were now in a prison camp. We set the stage. And I said, "You have half an hour to recreate everything that you know of in God's word, because that is all that you have to remember God by." And they looked at me and went, I said, "You don't have to remember all the references. You don't have to quote just verses. Everything that you can remember about God's word, you have a half an hour to write out so that you know in the prison camp for the next 5 years, this is how I have to live." They didn't do too great. Did it make the point? Absolutely. To be good stewards, we must know God's word. To be good stewards of God's word, we must know God's word. Everybody, please turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You can see the page number up there on the screen. We're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to read verses 7 through 9. And what we're going to find here is that God expected his people. What did I just say? God expected his people to know his word, and he expected them to pass this word on to their children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. "Now this is the commandment, the statutes and the rules," so he's talking about his word, "that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you, that you may do them in the land which you are to going over to possess it, that you may fear the Lord your God, and you and your son and your son's son, by keeping all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you all the days of your life, and that your days may be long." What was the teaching there? You are to do all these things. You are to remember all these things. And your sons, for generations, are supposed to remember it. Did God expect his people to know his word? Absolutely. And he even gets even more pointed here. Look at verses 7 through 9. "And you," and he's talking to Oh, by the way, parents, circle this passage. Put over here, God is talking to me, because this is directly to the parents. Verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children. What's God expect parents to do? To teach God's word. Does he expect the church to do it? Is that the church's main responsibility? No. Whose responsibility, whose main responsibility is it to teach God's word to children? The parents. He says, you are to teach your children. And now he's going to say, this is how you're going to do it. I love this part. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. Okay, how much or how often are you to be teaching your children God's word? Pretty much 24/7. If they're not sleeping, in some way they're being exposed to God's word. He goes on, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. So basically what he's saying is when your children look at you, they should be seeing you living out God's word. When they look at you, they see you as living out God's word. He says, you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Your kids should not even walk into your house without being presented God's word. All you men, you ready? Who is responsible for that in the home? Does a wife take part in that? Yes, but who is going to give an account like the stewards gave an account in the parable in Matthew chapter 25. The dads. They are the ones that are responsible. That is a specific stewardship for both parents, but rests solely on the shoulders of the man of the house. Men, God has called each of you to be leaders in your homes, and as leaders, He expects you to know His word well enough to pass it on to your family in the way that He just described in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Even in the New Testament, we find God expects His people to be stewards of His word. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Grow in what? The grace and what? Knowledge. What is the knowledge? Where do we get the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? God's word. This is the only place we can find out about who Jesus Christ is, what He did, and why He did it. So we're supposed to grow. And then we look at 2 Timothy. You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So, God's word, pastors, this is Paul writing to Timothy, and he's saying, you, Timothy, as a pastor, you're supposed to take God's word and entrust it to those other men in the church, and what are they supposed to do? Entrust it to others who can teach also, and that is the process. We are to know God's word, we are to understand God's word, we're supposed to pass on God's word, because that is part of our stewardship of God's word. Over and over, we find that God has expected His people to know and to interact with His word. There is nothing that we to argue about here. It is clear. It is clear. And this leads us to a question that is kind of interesting. What happens when God's people forget His word? What happens when this does not happen? We find out biblically that every time this happens, God's people drifted away from God and turned to idols. Every time the word of God was not known and passed on and remembered, Israel fell away. We see in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, my people, listen to this, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because you have rejected knowledge. I reject you from being a priest to me, and since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. How? How important is it to God that we know His word? He says, Israel, you are being destroyed because you don't know my word. You have a lack of knowledge of my word. Isaiah 5:13. Therefore, my people go into exile for what? Lack of knowledge. Their honor men go hungry, and their multitude is parched with thirst. Dire consequences for a lack of knowledge of what? In the context of that passage, God's word. If we do not or are not good stewards of God's word, we will drift. And there will be consequences. And we have to understand something. There will always be an accounting. And so, as we move on, we also see that God expects His stewards to keep His word. The idea of keep there is to obey. That's the idea, it's obey. Psalm 119, we talked about this in Sunday school a little bit this morning, is the longest chapter in the Bible. It's like I said 150, but I was wrong. It's actually 170 some odd verses in Psalm 119. All right, but think about this. Psalm 119 is not only the longest, but the whole chapter is focused on God's Word. 170 some odd verses focused on the value of God's Word, its worth, its importance. 170 some odd verses. Look at Psalm 119:4. You have commanded your precepts to be done what? Kept diligently. You have commanded your precepts, your law, your word to be kept diligently. Can you keep anything diligently if you don't know what it is? No. The only way you can do that, the only way we can be obedient to that, or Israelites could be obedient to that, is to know God's word. And then if you look at, and we'll move up to the New Testament, John says that keeping God's word is directly tied to our love for God. In John 14:15, if you love me, you will do what? Keep my commandments. The only way that we know how to keep his commandments is if we know his commandments. So many Christ followers that I have a chance to talk to and are struggling in their walk with God. They go, I wish I could do better. I wish, excuse me, I could obey better. The first thing I ask them is, how much of God's Word do you know? How often are you in God's Word? And you know what they tell me? More often than not, I might read a couple verses a couple times a week. And if that's the case, then I have to look at them and say, lovingly as I can, that's why you struggle, because you don't know what God wants you to do. And second of all, you're telling God in a very, very clear way, you don't love Him. And then he says in 1 John, or 2 John, excuse me, 1:6, and this is love. This is love. He's defining it, that we walk according to His commandments. And this is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. Can we walk according to His commandments if we don't know what the commands are? No. We can't. We just have to lay this on the table and be honest. I cannot walk where God wants me to. I cannot be a good steward of God's word if I don't know what it says. Luke is also clear. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord when you do not do what I tell you? The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. I love Him. But I have no clue how He wants me to live because I don't know His word. That's hard. It's clear. Keeping God's word shows that we know about God's word. Keeping God's word shows that we know that it's worth applying to our lives to show how much we love God. And this just moves into another question. Why does God want us to know His word? So we understand that we have a stewardship. We have to keep God's word. We need to make sure that we guard it. We understand that is our stewardship. And we could talk about that some more. All right, but we don't have time this morning. But we want to ask the question, okay, what are what does God want us to know? What are the benefits of being good stewards of God's Word. And this is what I love about being a Christ follower. So many times when people think about Christians and being Christ followers, it's like, man, you know, there is that you give up so much and there's not worthwhile because you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. The Bible doesn't even start to portray Christianity that way. Every time God says, please live like this, follow my word, know my word, he says, you want to know something? There are great benefits from it. There are benefits for being obedient to God's word, to show him our love for God through his word and knowing God's word. So what are the benefits of being good stewards of God's word? First, God's word gives you life. God's word gives you life. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, and this is Jesus in the wilderness in his temptation, but he answered Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Where does true life come from? The word of God. From every word that comes out of the mouth of God. John chapter 5, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from what? Death to life. True life is found only in God's word. True life is found only in the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no life. There is no true life. There is no eternal life outside of that. And Satan wants us to think there's eternal life or an afterlife in so many other areas. He wants to cloud that because he doesn't want us to know this truth. True life only comes through God's word. God's word gives us life. John 8:51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. You can put it this way. Truly, truly, I say to you, if you keep my word, you will have eternal life. Amen? True life only comes through God's word. So what are the benefits? God's word gives life. God's word always brings life to those who embrace it. God's word created our universe. God's word declared Jesus Christ's work on the cross as acceptable sacrifice. God's word reveals to us how we can become alive in Christ. God's word brings life to those who embrace it and believe in it. God's word brings life. Why else do we need to? What are the another benefit? God's word protects you from sin. I can assume that most everyone here wants to reduce the amount of sin in your life. How many of you here would love to go through a day where you did not sin in anything? In your thought life, was completely pure before God. Your actions, your heart, your emotions, no sin. How many of us as parents or grandparents want our kids to be protected from sin? Do we? We'll work hard for that, don't we? Well, you want to know how that happens? It's only through God's word. Look at Psalm 37:31. The law of his God is in his heart, and his steps do not what? Slip. If you have God's law, God's word in your heart, the path you have on this earth will not slip. You will not slip because you're living by the light of God's word. Psalm 119:9, going back to Psalm 119, how can a young man keep his way pure? How many of us as young men have ever asked that question in one way or the other? There's only one answer. By guarding it, there's that same word, according to your word. It's not because you're chained up. It's not because you have extra discipline. The only way a young man is going to keep his way pure is according if he follows God's word. And he can't follow God's word unless what? He knows it. He knows it. Psalm 119:11, I have stored up your word where? In my heart, that I might not sin against you. God's word over and over and over says if we want to be protected from sin, the only way to do that is to know God's word. The only way to know God's word is to read it and interact with it and understand what it says. God's word not only protects you from sin, but as we've already alluded to, it also brings blessing to your life. It brings blessing to your life. Psalm 119, again, verses 1 through 3. Blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart, who also do no wrong, but walk in His ways. Again, that's all focused on what? God's Word. And the knowing of God's Word. Knowing of God's Word. Of the appropriating of God's Word into your life. John 8, 31 through 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in Him, if you abide in My Word, that means if you live in My Word, if you are connected to My Word, okay, you are truly My disciple, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. One of the ways that we are assured of our salvation is if we love God's Word and we are constantly partaking of God's Word, because it is the truth of life, as we've already said. We need to abide in His Word. We need to be connected to His Word. We cannot be connected to God's Word unless we open it up and read it and know it and mark it and memorize it. You say, well, I can't memorize something. I'm not really good. I'm too old to memorize. I'm going to back you into a corner. You ready? I'm just letting you know up front. How many of you here own a smartphone? Raise your hand. How many of you have ever gone online, because that's where it's at now, because it's too big to put like in the box, and have read all the pages on how to use that smartphone? How many of you have invested that kind of time? I would wager money that probably no one here, or very, very few. So how did you get to know how to use your smartphone? You used it day in and day out. And when it was difficult, you would sit there and go, and then you would turn to your wife or somebody else, how do you do this? And they go, well, I don't know. And you turn to somebody else. You are diligent about it. You learn how to use it. And the more you use it, the more familiar you come with it. And the more familiar you come with it, you do it and use it even when you're not supposed to, because you can do it while you're driving in your car like this. And you never read a thing about it. It's because you used it. It's because you used it day in and day out, hours. And you want to know something? When we know God's Word like that, then we get to begin to live like that also. We begin to act and react in our whole lives towards God's Word because we know it, because we've practiced it, because we have learned it. And the principle applies. We can learn our smartphones. So anybody here says, I can't memorize, I can't learn how to do it, you're not being truthful, because you did it with your smartphone. It's just you don't have the love and the motivation to do it. Almost weekly, I hear prayers asking God to bless a person or an activity. And these are great prayers because they are often given with a very sincere heart. But you want to know something? What we don't often do for ourselves or for each other is to pray that those we love would really begin to desire God's Word. When's the last time you prayed for yourself or your family or your child, Lord God, help them know Your Word. Help me know how to teach them and show them Your Word. Because that is the only thing that they're going to be able to see where true life comes from. That's the only thing that's going to protect them and make them pure before You. An answer to that prayer is a guarantee that God will bring blessing to the lives of our loved ones. We also understand that God's Word helps you and I to understand life on this planet Earth. You want to learn how to navigate life? Then you need to be a good steward of God's Word. It shows you the pitfalls. It shows you the dips. It shows you the curves of the cliffs of living in a world that is full of darkness controlled by Satan. Psalm 119, 105. Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You want a light to how to walk on this planet? It's just Word. That's the light. Not the latest fad, not TikTok, not Facebook, not whatever else the social media that tells you how to live. Those things do not provide the right kind of light. If you want to navigate this world, if you want to know how to vote in the election, if you want to know the principles for that, if you want to know anything about this life, it is found in God's Word. That provides the light for where we need to go. And if we don't know it, if it's not here, if we're not in it, then we are going to be walking blind people when it comes to knowing what God wants us to do. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. All Scripture is good for all those things. There's not a part of life that is not covered by those four things. And why? It says, so the man of God may be completely equipped, or man or woman of God may be completely equipped for every good work. You want to know how to do good works that please God, that bring light to the world? Then you need to know God's Word. Because without it, you're not going to know. At best, you'll be guessing. When you and I know God's Word, we will begin to have insight about life on planet Earth that brings peace and joy to our lives. We begin to understand our purpose for living, why the world seems to be deteriorating, why there is so much pain and suffering, and why people act the way they do. Because the Bible tells us. God's Word helps us to become wise in the ways of this world, and we begin to navigate life so much more confidently and effectively. And finally, God's Word reveals your future. This is another one of those times, folks. God's Word reveals your future. Okay, y'all got it now, right? God's Word reveals your future. Amen. That's it, right there. Good job. We hear this passage. You can turn to it if you want to. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. We hear this at funerals. And why do we hear it preached so often at funerals? Because it gives us the confidence and the security and the calmness of heart to know what comes next. I'm going to read it all. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep or those who are dead, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Amen. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command and the voice of an archangel and the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so that we will always be with the Lord, and therefore encourage one another with these words. That is our future. And we would not find that at any other place but in God's Word. And so many times we live life not in light of that. And we get depressed and we're anxious because this world is the only thing that we look at. This world is the only thing that we live for. Our careers and our relationships and our everything. It's all about us and how we live here. And it's just depressing because we live in a world that's broken. But God's Word says this. World's nothing. Because when we die, we're going to be with God. When we die, we're going to be with Him for eternity. When we die, we are going to come face to face with our Savior. And when we die, that is something to rejoice in. There's no comfort like that anyplace else but the Word of God. And the world needs to hear that. The world needs to know that from us. And they need to know it by not only us telling them that, but we also need to know it because we live it out every day. When they look at us and they go, why aren't you crazy about the elections? Why aren't you crazy about the war over here? Why aren't you? Because I know God has it all. And if it's time and this world comes to an end, I'm going to be with Him. Does the world need to have that comfort? Does the world need to know about Jesus Christ and the gospel that He brings? Absolutely. As I said earlier, we could spend weeks studying why God wants us to know His Word. But all I wanted to do this morning was to help plant a seed in your mind that God expects you to know His Word because it will impact and change your life. We have a stewardship of His Word. We have a stewardship to tell the world about what God has written in His Word. So, what do I want you to do with the seed that I've hopefully planted? I want you to be and I to become men and women of the Bible. But it is so easy to say that, isn't it? It's so easy for us to say that. So, how can I learn God's Word? Nothing fancy here. First, accept the stewardship responsibility. Accept the stewardship responsibility. Most of us here know what it means to accept a stewardship responsibility for someone who has authority over us, don't we? Somebody at work comes and says, hey, we got this new system and I'm putting you in charge of it. Learn it, know how it works, and get ready to teach other people. And you look at them and say, I'm not interested in that, right? You tell your boss that, right? Only if you want to lose your job. Do you accept that stewardship responsibility? Most of us in here would say, absolutely, because my job depends on it. Do you really have any say-so? Not really. You really don't. And therefore, no matter what it takes, we will find a way to become a good steward of that new stewardship, won't we? We will find a way. We'll figure it out. We will come in early. We will stay late. We will read manuals. We will figure out how to do this because my job depends on it, and it's a stewardship that my boss gave me, and I can't change it. We are all familiar with that situation, aren't we? You want to know something? God has given you a stewardship. He says, know this. Understand this. Live this. Use this. Because I have asked you to. I have asked you to. And so many of us come up and we've heard things like this. I don't like to read. So I can't read the Bible. When the day of accountability comes, do you think that's going to wash? You think, is it going to wash? Is God going to say, oh, no problem. I understand it. No. I struggle with understanding it. I can't understand it when I read God's Word. Is God going to say, that's okay. No problem. Will that work? Is that going to be a good excuse to tell God? How about this? You know, I have got so much stuff to do. I have three athletic events I have to go to. I have to do this, and I have to do this, and I had to work late, and I have to do this. And that's just my life right now. You think that's going to wash? Would it wash with your boss? Would any of those reasons wash with your boss who said, learn this? No, it won't. You see, we must accept the stewardship. And until we accept it, until we understand it's in our laps, and until we understand that we're going to give an account for it, we will never learn God's work. Be intentional. That's the next one. Accept the stewardship responsibility. Be intentional. In that situation where your boss gave you a new stewardship, would you be intentional about learning it? Would you? Would you put it on your calendar? Would you set time aside? Would you say, I have to learn it? Would you work extra hours? Would you come in on a weekend? Would you do what you had to do to keep that stewardship? Absolutely. And you would be intentional about it. You knowing God's word is not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen just because, you know, you're kind of around it because you go to church on Sunday mornings. This here, we learn God's word here, but it's not enough. Until you plan to read and to study and to memorize, it will never happen. Until you put it in your calendar, it will never happen. Never give up. Never give up. How many of us will be perfect at our stewardship with God's word? How many of us have said, you know something, I'm going to read through the Bible this year. And by January 15th, when you're 10 days behind, you go, I'll just wait till next year. How many of you have ever done that? Okay? Or you say, I'm going to memorize this passage of Scripture. And you're really good at it. But then that little 3x5 card that you keep somewhere either gets misplaced or doesn't get, and pretty soon it's been 6 weeks and you've never even looked at that card. We've all been there, something of that nature. You see, we're all going to fail, folks. That's another amen moment. Because we are going to fail, right? There's not a person in here who will not fail at this. But we have a gracious and loving God. We have a God that we can come to and say, Lord God, I am not doing what I should do with your word. I am not being a good steward with your word. And I need help. And I need to start again. And I need to do this. And does he say, okay, wait till next year? No, what's he going to, is he going to forgive you? Is he going to say, hey, man, just get back into it. Just do it. And that is something that brings comfort to our hearts because God loves us and He is gracious and He is merciful. And if you are not a good steward 1,000 times during the year, will He forgive you 1,000 times? Yes. Yes. So we must never give up. And here's one, the last one, become accountable. Become accountable. We must not be prideful and think that we can do this on our own because we need help. And you want to know something? Do you know one of the best places to get help at? Is with your church family, is with your church membership, is with those people that you go to Sunday school with, that you have Bible studies with, that you come to Sunday morning service with. Get somebody to help you be accountable. Keep them accountable. Come together. Kathy here a while ago, it's been quite a while ago, she had a group of women that decided that they wanted to memorize 1 Peter or a portion, I don't remember. They memorized all kinds of stuff. You know what they did? They got together every week and said, how you doing? And they went over it together every week. How you doing? Where you're at? We all need that. Men, we are lousy at this. We're lousy because we really don't like other men to come up to us and say, hey, you know what? I need to talk to you because, you know, you're not doing, I've asked you and you keep giving me excuses why you're not being in God's word. And guys, we just don't handle that well. We just don't. But we need to be accountable. So, as I finish today, where do we find out how to invest our resources that God has given us? How do we find out how to be good stewards? What's the answer? God's word. Therefore, we must be good stewards of God's word, and we do that by guarding it and knowing it and keeping it. And this takes planning and effort and diligence and discipline. But as we have seen, God promised to bless us when we're good stewards. He promises us blessings when we're good stewards of His Word. This is the starting place for your walk with Christ. This is the starting place for everything else we are going to study over the next few weeks about stewardship. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about husbands and wives. We're going to talk about money. We're going to talk of so many things about being living a life across the board in stewardship. But it's not going to make any difference unless you know this first. Because everything we learn is going to be here. It's going to be here. One final question today. How are you doing? Just be honest with yourself as Michelle comes up. How are you doing with your stewardship of God's Word? You already know that there's no excuse that's going to work. When it comes to be a time of accountability, there will be no excuse for not being in God's Word and knowing it and living it. And being a light for it. And so let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. As we continue this stewardship series. To go back and review some of this. This sermon will be online. Within a few days, I hope. You can re-listen to it. You can look at your notes. Don't just let this fade to the background. Don't let this just become something that you learned and in a month you forgot about it. Because our lives depend on knowing God's Word. Living our lives depends on knowing God's Word. Bow your heads, please.